God is so good. God is so good. I'm excited about what God is doing, what He continues to do, and how He blesses the people. We're on a journey, folks. We're on a journey. It's going to last 48 weeks. And so as we are on this journey today, we're going to be picking up in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to back up a little bit on chapter 11, but moving forward, and our primary focus is going to be on Genesis chapter 12 today. And so I'd just like to kind of get the juices going here just for a moment. In Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The promises that we are finding in God's Word are so astounding. But I've got to carry you through the journey on this as we are picking up in our life and seeing how God is making this thing to happen. Because there's two things that we're going to cover here. One is God chose Abraham and guided him to Canaan. Now, kind of keep in your mind, Canaan, where modern-day Israel is today. Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldees, is where the Garden of Eden was, kind of up in Iraq, in that area. And we're going to move him down. We're going to carry him to Iran and then finally into Canaan or into the land of Israel. Lot is going to be his nephew. His father, Haran, died. And Abram took on his nephew to raise him up and to show him in the way. So that's the direction that we're headed. But in order to get there, what do you see right there? And this is a little bit tricky. I understand that. You see the earth, and then what's on the other side? A storm coming in, looks like that. The clouds, the heaven. And now, the real question is, what's in between? Now, what you're looking at is something that you're going to recognize before I get through with this. But I got to paint the picture. We're living here on this earth. We got a lot of trouble. We got enough trouble here on this earth. But we got a lot of blessings here, right here on the earth. But in heaven, we know God's in heaven. And we know that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. And we know that He is the one, our intercessor. We know He is the one that we pray to. And He communicates on our behalf. So we've got heaven and earth working at the same time. But the real question right here is, what's in between heaven and earth? Good point. What was in between this week for me? Went down to Jackson. Here, Franklin Graham, as we prayed for America. Now, I never saw his face when he was speaking. My position, where I was located. Heard him very plainly. But you know, when we think about heaven, between heaven and earth, we've got to do a lot of praying in between, because our country is not where it's supposed to be. Okay? There's a long way for us to go, short time for us to get there, but there is a definite course of action. And you might say, what is that course of action?
To come even when the skies are threatening rain, and it was raining just a little while ago. But you've come out here to stand and pray. And so we thank you for coming. My father is 97. He sends his greetings to Mississippi. I think we're all here today because we know that our country is in trouble.
Amen.
It's in trouble spiritually. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God loves you. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. God loves you.
What are you supposed to remember? Isn't that neat? Between heaven and earth, God loves you. Don't ever forget that. Because inside of that, we begin to pick up now some of these wavelengths that are coming from heaven to earth. We begin to see what's happening in between God's love. God's love. Waves of God's love. I'm not giving up on America, folks. I am not. I believe that God wants to do great things in America. And when I saw that many thousand people joining together praying for this nation, praying for our president, praying for the presidents to be, that there is a lot of hope that we need to bring into our country. Between heaven and earth, is there hope? Think about it. Heaven and earth is hope. What have you been looking at? You've been looking at our church yesterday. You saw what was going on yesterday was heaven. And you saw what was going on yesterday was also earth. You've been looking at the same picture. So what's going on between heaven and earth? These things are happening. But something that I need to for you to recognize, while we were here, the question was asked, is there hope? Just the people that I talked with. Not the one that many of the other counselors did. A son was in jail. A son just got out of jail. A father died. A daughter was diagnosed bipolar. Mother sick. Ninth grader failing in math. Disease. Rebellious children. Drug addict. Family feud. Finance. And that's just some of the things that I was talking and praying with people. Where's all that happening? Between heaven and earth. And that's where God has called you and me to be a part of, in heaven and earth. So how do we show what we believe? How do we teach our children? Sometimes we need to understand this. One of the ladies said yesterday, you need to write this down. And I was just talking to her, and God brings stuff to your heart. You know, when you're praying for people and encouraging people, when I say David, what comes to your mind? David and Goliath. You know what? We think about the big times, don't we? We think about him getting out there and fighting this big, huge giant. But where was David before the giant? He was taking care of the sheep. The difference between life and death for the sheep was a little shepherd boy. The difference between life and death for some of the people that you come into contact is you. You stand between life and death. Life spiritually, in some cases, life physically. Death spiritually, you may be the one who reached out and asked them, would you like to call on the name of the Lord Jesus? And by doing that, they can receive life. How are you going to train your kids? Is it easy? How do you train children? How do you train young people? How do you train teenagers? How do you train adults to take that mission between heaven and earth? I suggest to you that we have to find ways in order to teach our children. And that's the reason we are going through the Word of God. That's the reason why we are going Genesis. We're going through the Bible at a, believe it or not, at a rapid pace with themes. But we are seeing how that we can pass on this life, this hope, this help to our children. And it's not always easy to communicate.
Ishmael, you must sacrifice something of great value to yourself.
Abraham,
something
his
that
son,
you love.
Ishmael.
Something that you would risk your life for, as you would this ram. He is a handsome animal who could father many sheep that would add to your wealth. But you will offer the life of this creature to God as a sign that shows the Lord that you will put nothing, nothing of this world above him, the Lord God Most High. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, the ritual must be carried out properly. The creature that you sacrifice must lie quietly, accepting the sacrifice. Now. Must bind him. Show his fear. Don't. Good. Now, we will place him on the altar. Now take his life. Quickly. Now, son. You have hunted and killed many animals.
But this is different.
Oh, yes. And in your heart, it must feel very different. Do it.
When we are sharing the love of Jesus Christ, it must reach down into the heart. We must sense it. We must feel it. We must know it. We must believe it. If we do not express it in a way in which we can communicate to other people the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will not believe, nor will they practice. The ancient way of sacrificing these animals now has passed forth because we see the supreme sacrifice was the Lord Jesus. However, how do we teach our children? And here, that's real, that's powerful, so that we understand it, so that we know it and need it. We go back and we say, okay, we're looking at, in a baseball term, strike one. Here's Adam. He stands up to plate, to bat for life. Did Adam and Eve strike out? Yes. But remember, God's presence was with them in the garden. Strike two. We put Noah up to the bat. And now he goes on the ark, brand new. Everybody's dead. Starting brand spanking new all over the earth. Only Noah and eight people in the ark survived. And now what's happening? Remember, God's presence was in the ark. Did they strike out? Abram is now up to bat. We're looking at chapter 12. We're moving through the book of Genesis. And remember, God's presence is with Abraham. He called him. He called him and made a covenant with him. So Abraham was a descendant of Shem. Now the reason why I bring this up is because, you remember, Adam were coming through Noah and Noah's son, Shem, and then Terah, and then all of a sudden we find this generation. Genesis chapter 11, 27, 28. This is the generation of Terah. Terah begot Abram. Abram begot Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq, up in that part of the country. What are you talking about? I'm saying that God's got a plan. There's a scarlet thread, and it's moving toward the salvation of man. But on this journey between heaven and between earth, there's a lot that's going on between there. And these are things that we must grasp, and we must handle, and we must pass on to the next generation. And for instance, we just talked about Terah, the father, having the three brothers, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But look at the struggles they went through. Abram married Sarai. In Genesis chapter 11, 30, but Sarai was barren and she had no children. For 90 years, she had no children. And a woman without a child in that culture, in that generation, was something that was very hurtful to them. Nahor. And then we look over there at Haran, his other brother. Haran died before his father. And then we skip down and we see that Terah, the father, dies in Genesis chapter 11, 32 at the age of 205. And then to clinch all of this, where is God in this picture? Joshua picks it up. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, they served other gods. Okay, capture me just for a moment. Are you with me? Here's what happened. Abram is right here. What gods are they serving? Had they heard about the Lord God? Did they know about the sacrifice? Did Abraham know how to perform a sacrifice? Who taught him if it was not his father? And so now, even though they knew about him, they didn't know him. Many troubles that we fight with today. Many people know about God, but they don't know Him. So what are we talking about? The struggles they have between heaven and earth, childless, fatherless, death, false religion. I ask you a question. Is there hope? Is there hope? Really, if you tell your children, you know, sometimes I want to kick myself because I listen to too much TV. Because many times if you listen to TV, you're thinking, what's happening to America? Man, it's spiraling. It's going to burn before the year's out if you listen to the airwaves. But it's not that way. When we went down to Jackson, I don't know how many thousands of people that was. 5,000, 10,000? But that's 5,000 or 10,000 people right there that said, hey, look, Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a lot of good, and we need to pass this on because there is hope. And when those people came yesterday and they asked for food, but we gave them more than food, and really they are saying, is there hope? And so Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, that's where we pick it up. When he says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. What do you got to do? Sometimes God says, if you're going to know me, you got to get out. What was he surrounded by? Family. What was he surrounded by? Security. What was he surrounded by? People worshiping false gods. It is time for you to get out. You have to break away. And this also tells us it does not matter how bad the home environment can be, God can still reach in and call you out. He can still give you hope. Get out and then go to the land that I'm telling you. Go to where your promise will be fulfilled. Go to the place that I have for you. Get up. Hey, if you stay where you are the rest of your life, you're going to continue to do the same thing you've always done, and you're going to get the same result. But if you'll listen to when God calls you and you get up and you go to the place that He wants you to be, there's going to be hope, because ultimately He's going to tell you, follow me. Follow me. God told Abraham to leave his country and follow me. That's what He's telling us. That's what God's telling each of us today. Sometimes we have to get up. Sometimes we got to get out. And we've just got to follow Him. Because God's got a promise for you. And what was that? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Has God ever made a promise to you? Think about it just for a moment. Has God ever made a promise to you? Have you ever made a promise to God? God always keeps His promises. Did you always keep yours? Let me tell you about God's promise. What God says, it goes. He never backs up. God made a promise. And that promise is still affecting us. He promised you're going to be a great nation. Hey, how many children did Abraham have when he got this promise? How old was he? Probably 75 at this time. 75 years old. Your wife is 65 years old. How many ladies do you know had children at 65? Okay. Oh, no. All right. Okay. And the reality was not many, okay? I'm not saying it can't happen. 65 comes along. 75 comes along. 85 comes along. No child. God made a promise. Did Abraham believe God? Yes, he did. God made you a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made you a promise. If you believe on his Son, you will have everlasting life. That's God's promise. Does God keep his promise? Yeah. That he does. And so he said, he told him he's going to be a blessing. And then he said, I'm going to bless those that bless you in verse 3. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and those who curse you will be cursed. And in your name, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. How would you like it that every time if somebody came up to you and they cursed you, you would tell them God's going to get you for that? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? God made him a promise. God took care of his promise. Do you believe that? What can we teach? Just think about it. Egypt cursed Israel. What happened to Egypt? They were conquered by the Assyrians. Moab's cursed Israel. What happened? They were destroyed by, actually, the Israelites. The Syrians cursed Israel. That's the one who took the northern tribe. They cursed Israel. What happened to them? The Babylonians came along, and they destroyed them. The Babylonians cursed Israel. What happened to the Babylonians? The Grecians came along and cursed them. And then what happened to them? Well, the Romans cursed Israel. And then Germany cursed Israel. And what happened to Germany? They were destroyed too. And the Muslim nations today are cursing Israel. And what's happening to the Muslim nations today? They're at war among themselves. God's word, sure. His word is going. What about the United States? The United States right now is blessing Israel in multitude of ways. In fact, from 1976 to 2004, they've given them over $121 billion in grants. And then in Israel, I think it was last year, it was about $8 billion in loans. Hey, what is happening? Israel is being blessed by the United States. The United States is being blessed by God. The promise continues on. But here's a promise that God gave to us. In Genesis 3:15, when God promised Abraham, you are going to be a blessing to all nations. This brings back up to our attention to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 when he says, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his feet. So what are you saying? God is raising up a deliverer. He promised that. And he made Abraham a part of that deliverer's life. What is God up to? Hey, Isaiah put it this way. Isaiah the prophet said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's no other, for I am God. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Would y'all please read those last two lines? My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What is God going to do? You got it. Okay, so when God gave you a commandment, God keeps His word. That covenant of grace, he is going to accomplish it. So Abraham believed God. And so what did he do? He packed up. In verses 4 and 5, and Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then he took with him Sarah, his wife, his brother's son, and all the possessions they had. And they went to Haran. And then they went, ultimately, after his father died, they headed toward Canaan. In this journey, God was blessing them. Abraham's wealth increased. Who was his nephew? What's his name? Lot. Lot prospered under the canopy of Abraham. And now they got so many animals that the pasture lands couldn't handle them all. So a an uncle and his nephew, they were just like this. But the people that were working for him were just like this. You see, along this journey, you're going to run into conflict. No matter how blessed you are, you're going to run into conflict. And so Abraham, he said, here's a solution. He said, Lot, you go to the north, I'll go to the south. You go to the south, I'll go to the north. Let's divide it. Let's don't have any conflict between us. Lot knew that was a good decision. So what did Lot do? Chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered, and everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Azor. Oh man, he looked out. This young buck, you know what he was doing, Troy? He was scoping it out. You know, like you scope out where the deer go? He was scoping out where the best pasture lands were. And did he give Uncle Abe the best choice, or did he take it? He took it. He took it. He didn't give his uncle, who had blessed him and carried and raised him and all that he'd done for him. And did that make Abraham happy? Yes. Because it didn't matter. Because Abraham was following God. And he loved his nephew. And his nephew loved himself. But you know what? Something strange about this picture. Lot loved God. So don't think it all works out just perfectly like that. Strike three is fast approaching with Aryan, Sodom, and Gomorrah. And we're going to be talking more about them. But this is what I want you to pick up on. Lot made a decision. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Which way did Lot choose? Oh, the way of prosperity. Which way did Lot choose? The way that's going to the south towards Sodom and Gomorrah and the land of beauty. All that glitters is not gold. And let me say this. Every decision you make has consequences. Be very careful in the decision that you make. Make sure the decision that you make is for the glory of God. The decision that you make will affect your family and the outcome of your family based primarily on you, sir, based on your decisions. Your family is going to be affected. You will make good decisions. Your family will be blessed. You make bad decisions, your family is going to suffer the pain. It happens that way. So therefore, we must be very careful in making our decisions, because strike three is fast approaching, such as in February. Anna was driving three of her kids in a car. She's 44 years old. She was driving 40 mile an hour speed limit, coming from the other direction. 52-year-old woman driving 92 miles an hour in a 40-mile zone. She wavered out of her lane. Head-on collision. Ina died. And the woman driving the other car died. I'm telling you, strike three occurs quicker than what we recognize. Monty Williams, the husband, played basketball for Notre Dame. In the early part of his life, Monty had been diagnosed with a cardiovascular disease. And the doctors told him, said, this is the type of disease that kills athletes. You give it up. He gave up playing basketball. But Eden, in fact, Monty wanted to go out into the lake and drown himself. But Enon, this is 40-something years earlier, Enon, a few years, 20-something years earlier, Enon said no, and she encouraged him. Enon prayed for him, other people prayed for him, and within about a year or so, all the symptoms of that disease went away. Monty said it was a miracle. He went back to playing ball for Notre Dame. Then he went on to play in the NBA. He became the associate head coach of Oklahoma City Thunder. But then on this day, February the 10th, his life changed. 5 children, still alive. But the wife and the driver of the other car died. Now let me ask you, how are you going to teach your children for such a day as this? I ask you the question, where is hope? The question is not whether you're going to hit a strike three. Everybody in here, you're going to have a strike three in your life, okay? But if you use those teachable moments so that when strike three comes, you find hope. Where is hope? How do we share our faith? How do we teach our children about this faith?
And my wife would punch me if I were to sit up here and whine about what's going on. That doesn't take away the pain. But it will work out because God causes all things to work out. You just can't quit. You can't give in. See, the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And America teaches us to just numb that, and it's not true, but it is true. All you got to do is look around you. Get outside of these walls and you know it's true. This will work out. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean we don't have tough times and we're going to have tough times. What we need is the Lord. And that's what my wife tried to exhibit every single day. Now, I'm going to close with this, and I think it's the most important thing that we need to understand. Everybody's praying for me and my family, which is right. But let us not forget that there were two people in this situation. And that family needs prayer as well. And we have no ill will towards that family. In my house, we have a sign that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We cannot serve the Lord if we don't have a heart of forgiveness. That family didn't wake up wanting to hurt my wife. Life is hard. It is very hard. And that was tough. But we hold no ill will towards the Donaldson family. And we, as a group, brothers united in unity, should be praying for that family because they grieve as well. So let's not lose sight of what's important. God will work this out. My wife is in heaven. God loves us. God is love. And when we walk away from this place today, let's celebrate. Because my wife is where we all need to be. And I'm envious of that. But I got 5 crumb snatchers I got to deal with. I love you guys for taking time out of your day to celebrate my wife. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find it. I know exactly where my wife is. I'll miss holding her hand. I'll miss talking with my wife. Sam and Coach Donovan probably couldn't figure out why I always wanted to get out of the office, me and Mo Cheeks. Mo probably wanted to go do something else, but we always wanted to get out of the office. I just enjoy being with my wife. I enjoy being with my family. And most of the times we didn't do anything. We'd just be at the house sitting around doing nothing. I'm going to miss that. Let's not lose sight of what's important. God is important. What Christ did on the cross is important. Let's not lose sight of that family that also lost someone that they love. I love you guys. I hope I get a chance to hug and shake a hand and give a kiss on the cheek. But let's keep what's important at the forefront. Thank you.
A lot of truth. Did y'all hear the truth? That's preparing for the next strike. That's reality. Remember at the beginning when that guy that was characterizing Abraham was told Ishmael to sacrifice? That reached in and grabbed the heart. This grabs the heart. This tells us of the reality. This is what's happening between heaven
and earth. Strike three is fast approaching. The men in Sodom are there. The surrounding area, it's going to happen. And so we see that the decision that you are making today, it's going to affect your family. They're going to get around some people that are ugly people, but you can still be a believer of the Lord even in the worst situation Lot was. Lot was a righteous man. He was in a so bad that we're going to hear from him next week or so that God's going to flame on and He's going to burn them down. Fire and brimstone. No matter how bad the situation is, God called Abraham out and he followed. Lot was in that situation and God's going to call Lot out. He's preparing us, each one of us. So what have we talked about this morning? The deliverer is a part of God's plan. God's plan produces real change from Shem, and then real change from Abram. And then sin is dealt with because repentance is the result of real change. Real change has got to occur. God produced a covenant of grace in Genesis chapter 6 where He was going to make him a great nation. And he was going to be a blessing. His descendants would be a blessing to all people. That's a covenant of grace. And Abraham believed, and that's faith. Faith means to obey, and to obey is faith. And then the consequences, the choices that Lot made affected his family and will affect his family. And so it's true for us today. Every choice has consequences. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do this morning? Scott, we need to sell on with daring faith. We need to sell on when things are difficult because somebody's going to strike out in your ball field. We need to sell on where people can see Jesus as Monty stood up and his children could see Jesus in the midst of that terror. We need to sell on in confidence, obedience, that God's got this. We need to sell on, believe that God's got things under control. It's not out of control. Let's sell on, okay? Let's sell on with confidence. Father, today we are asking Your people to sell on. Father, we're asking You to speak to us. And when You tell us to get up and get out and follow You, let us remember Abram did and You blessed him. And we know it was an act of faith. Father, You're speaking to many of us this day. And there's some stuff that we need to get up because we've been so secured where we were that we missed the blessing. We need to get up and get out and follow You. Father, some people need to give their life to You and be saved today. It's like Abraham believed God and was counted him as righteousness. Today, Lord, there are those who need to have faith in You. And Father, there are some who need to get ready and get their children ready because strike three is coming and their family is going to be affected and they must be prepared for this coming event. Help us in our journey to live for You, to walk for You, to love evil people for You. And we know between heaven and earth, that's where You've placed us. Now, God, may we be a light for Jesus Christ. That is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to give you a time to make a step. Some of you may need to get out and give your life to Jesus Christ. Some of you may need to get out and hit the prayer altars because you've got some stuff that you need to deal with. Some of you maybe have gotten up and gotten out, but you're not following. Today, though, you make that conscious decision, I am going to follow Jesus. Abraham made it. Took everything he had and he went for it. So some of you have to make that decision today. Whatever God is telling you to do, that's what I'm asking you to do. I'll be down front here. And if you want to come and talk, I'll be available to you. Prayer altars are going to be open. If you need somebody to pray with you, grab somebody. Listen, folk, 193 people heard Jesus loved them. 13 people. And there's more than 13 people in here. And these people will grab hold of your hand and they'll pray with you and they'll tell you God loves you. Franklin Graham told you God loved you. I'm telling you God loves you. And there's people in this room who will tell you God loves you. Some of you may need to hear that this morning. Grab somebody by the hand. And then let's make a commitment to sell on. Okay? Let's stand together as we share in this. Sell on, what do you say, okay? Let's do it. And you know what? We're going to sell on. We're going to sell on today. We're going to celebrate today. We've come to the end of a 40-day period of time now, and we're going to celebrate. We've celebrated the name of Jesus in song, in word, in prayer, and now we're going to celebrate in food. They got the Baptist bird over there, and he's all fried up. So, okay? So we want you to come and be a part of that if you can. If you say I didn't bring nothing, that don't matter. There's more bird over there than all of us can eat. Okay? So we want you to join together and just enjoy that time of celebrating Jesus Christ. Thank you for your commitment over the last 40 days in the small groups. Thank you for what you've done and the blessings of life and the food distribution and all of these things. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our prayer now. We're going to give praise and honor and glory, and we're going to bless the food. So let's go to the Lord. Jesus, thank you for the last 40 days, this time of daring faith in which we have learned about the promises of God and how they can affect, reach out, and touch our life, that with God all things are possible. And God, we leave here today with a full knowledge that God's got it under control. Thank you, God, for each one that's been a part and received the blessing that was laid before us. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray now for the food that we're about to take. We want to say thank you again. And all those who took time and prepared and shared, and all of those who are going to eat it, God, I pray your blessings on them. So as we walk with you, we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And to God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you over there eating.